So, Lauren, welcome to the podcast. Delighted to have you on. So, if you don't know Lauren, Lauren is a dub as well. You're from Dublin, aren't you?
Hi guys. Thanks so much for having me.
She's a Dublin-based coach as well, and obviously you do the same line of work as me. And I stumbled upon you online for your recipes. Your recipes are great, but you also obviously coach women too when it comes to fat loss. And I wanted to get you on because your following is booming now as well. Like I think you have like 110,000 followers on Instagram, don't you?
Yeah, like since Christmas, I think it just kind of like shot up out of nowhere.
Yeah, like Lauren is really consistent with our content online, and it's somewhere I aspire to be down the line, like helping women like myself. So, Lauren, give us a bit of background about yourself. Why did you become an online coach or a personal trainer in general?
So I just kind of fell into the coaching. So basically my background is marketing. So I did marketing first, and then I was working in restaurants before COVID, and then COVID hit, and I had already kind of like I was in the middle of my PT course, but I was like kind of afraid to leave that, because I was managing a restaurant, and everybody thinks at the start, oh, you can't make money as PT. So I never really like properly left it, and then COVID happened, and I was like jumping around my sitting room getting bricks from out the back garden trying to use them as weights because there was no weights in the shop. And oh my God, if you look back on the videos, I think I was trying to be Courtney D. Black, but I definitely was not her. And I was like jumping around the place. I think I've deleted the majority of them by now. And I was doing all the lives and all thinking I was like deadly. Finally, all these years later, I realized that I think for me, the food side of things suits me a little bit better than trying to do the other side. Like I do train, but I find like my knowledge is more with the food. I can make plans for girls, like coach girls with training now, but my love for it is definitely more into the recipes and teaching people how to actually eat normal foods and lose weight.
Yeah, I just love looking at your page because it's food that people eat every day. Do you know, it's food that people would think you can't eat in order to lose body fat. Obviously, a lot of misconceptions, like we'll get to that down the line. But that was one of the things that brought me to your page. Like it's just everyday food, snacks that you love, chocolate, but obviously mixing it with stuff like oats or pasta or rice, like I seen that one you made there, a spice bag. Like I'm really lazy when it comes to cooking. So, if someone says this is my go-to lazy meal and they whip out a chopping board, like they've already lost me. Like so I seen you buy a bag of stir fry mix from Super Value, I think, and I went out and bought it and I did.
Pre-cut chips and all, like you can basically buy a bag of potatoes cut into chips that you throw in the air fryer. Like anything you want to eat, you can make healthy. You just have to be creative and go to the shop and buy the convenient stuff. People don't have time for these big mad recipes, especially like majority of girls who I coach are moms, and they already are trying to make like dinners for the kids and stuff. They don't want to make separate dinners for them with 20 million ingredients.
Yeah, I know. You're trying to make your life easier because that's more sustainable then. Like I find even when I make a, if someone asks me to make them a meal plan, I just say, okay, what are the foods that you like? What are the foods that your kids like? And it's literally like make this portion of pasta bolognese and you just have a bit more mince. It's as simple as that,
Simple is the key. Even with the bolognese, I think people just overcomplicate it. They're like, do I weigh the pasta dry? Do I weigh the pasta cooked? How do I separate the mince? It's like, come on. Like, it doesn't have to be for the average man. We're not bodybuilders. I think that's the problem with social media. A lot of people are still trying to go down that bodybuilding route, and they're getting confused, thinking that they have to have everything to the gram. They don't. They just need to be healthier and stick to their calorie deficit. It doesn't have to be 110 points.
Yeah, I think we just have to make them realize maybe just don't free pour your portions and just like because on the back of packets it does say say a 50-gram portion of pasta is say X amount of calories. All right, maybe that's too little, so I'll add a little bit more and then I'll track it. But yeah, like you said, to the gram is probably a bit. That's more like stepping on stage, and competing. Like you'd have to weigh every gram of rice, but I think, and sometimes I think people get overwhelmed with that, and it kind of deters them from like wanting to lose body fat. They're like, this is too overwhelming for me.
I find that too. And I find a lot of the times that I know it can be a bit like misleading, or it can be confusing because there's so many options down on Instagram and they're seeing everybody. Like, I try to sometimes tell my girls that even though I do post loads of recipes, they don't have to make them all. Like, they literally can just pick the ones that they like and rinse and repeat, because sometimes people are getting carried away with that as well, trying to make everything.
Yeah, and it's not very cost effective. Like, I go into Super Value and I literally buy, I'd say I probably rotate the same 6 meals, you know, 2 breakfasts, 2 lunch, 2 dinner. Like, it's not cost effective to be making a different meal every meal time every day. Like, the amount of food that would go to waste. So I'd say, you know, buy a portion of mince and pasta, get 3 to 4 days out of it, and then maybe change it up ahead, or stick to, if it's not broken, you know, don't try fix it.
Yeah, 100%.
So you got into being a PT around lockdown, same as myself. And was there a reason that you wanted to become a PT? Like, was there, like for me, I just wanted women to understand that it doesn't have to be as complicated. Like, we literally just discussed that. You know, it's not as complex as it seems. Sometimes the simple way seems like the way that's the wrong way, but it's actually straightforward fat loss once you understand it. But I wanted women to understand, you know, it is a lot more simple than you think, and that's why I got into it. But why did you get into it?
So I think for me, if I look back, I'll never forget this comment. So I told you I came from hospitality. So I used to work in Nando's and I used to go to the gym all the time in FlyFit, but I was doing all the random classes. And one day there was a Portuguese guy. He was real out straight and I worked with him. And he just said to me, I don't understand. He was like, you go to the gym all the time, but you don't look like you go to the gym. And that really stuck with me, because I wasn't, like, at that point, I wasn't overweight or underweight, but I wanted to understand what I was doing at the gym. And I think I was just going to gym and doing all these random classes and not getting any results. So that's why I started doing the PT course. It was more so for me to understand it for myself. And then I just fell into it, because I was thinking, why haven't I looking like I go to the gym? Like, I was going to the gym probably 6 days a week at that stage, and I didn't have a problem, but I just didn't have a clue either. I think I was swinging the dumbbells around when I was trying to do my own thing. And that's what most girls do. I think they go gym, but they don't train, they just go to the gym. There's a massive difference. If you're just going to the gym and you're looking around, you're like, oh, what will I do today? And then you're like, oh, well, today I might go try this machine or this. You haven't got a clue what you're doing.
Oh yeah, a lot of messages being like, I'm going to the gym like 5 days a week, but I'm just not losing body fat. And I'm like, well, maybe it's not the gym, maybe it's your nutrition. You know, like, sometimes we can go to the gym and we can do as many spin classes as we like, but you can't out train a bad diet.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like sometimes back then, in anyways, I think we all thought that, okay, I'm going to the gym, all I need to do is do the classes and the cardio, and then I combine that with having as little food as possible. And that's not the solution. I feel like so many girls are so used to that. And I often get girls, they come to me and they go, well, my fitness pal told me I should have this. That's because I asked my fitness pal to get you there as quickly as possible. My fitness pal is just trying to cover their own backs. They're getting you there as quickly as possible. It doesn't mean it's thinking about you or your health or anything like that. It's literally just giving you the smallest number of calories that you can physically go off without dying.
It's so dangerous. I often say to people, don't go by my fitness pal's great for track and field, but don't let it, because see, people don't understand that, you know, a pound to a pound and a half is probably sustainable per week, but 3 to 4 pounds is, you nearly have to be in a 1500 to 2000 calorie deficit, like, to be losing that a week. And if you have kids, like we were talking about a while ago, and you want a life, like, it's not worth it. It's not.
Definitely not. And like, my biggest pet hate, you'll see it across my videos, is the whole scales and slimming world and telling people that, like, their goal is for the scales to go down. No. Like, that is one way to track your progress. But I have so many women that come and they're so caught up in it and they're nearly getting so upset in their check-ins, even though they've had an absolutely unbelievable week, but the scales didn't go down. And I'm like, ah, that doesn't mean anything. You could have just slept bad the night before. Da-da-da-da-da. So a tip for some girls to do, if they're listening to this, is if you're worried about the scales and if you want to actually improve your relationship with the scales, weigh yourself each day and take the average of the week. And you might say, oh, Lauren, but that's the opposite, that's being obsessive. But it's not, because you'll actually see how much it fluctuates, and then actually change the time of the day and then pick the scales up and put it in a different room in the house and you'll be a different weight. Like, the scales is not accurate. So I don't know, people just get so caught up on it.
But I remember someone saying, someone actually commented on a video I put up like early on when I started the coaching page, and I said about weighing daily, and someone was like, oh, stick to the comedy and yet and all, you haven't got a clue, that encourage eating disorders and stuff like that. And I was like, but why are we making people more afraid? Did you ever hear that saying, feel the fear but do it anyway? If everyone avoided something because they were afraid of it for the rest of their life, they'd never get over it. So I think exposure to the scale, educating yourself on why it fluctuates, and then you actually begin to understand it. So when you do stand on it, you don't get attached to the number anymore. You actually understand why it's like that.
Yeah. And I also think another tip for people with the scales as well is to understand that if you're weighing yourself and you're doing a check-in every week, like, don't be expecting to be losing kgs. And if it's upsetting you, change the scales to pounds and watch the pounds, because you'll be losing around a pounds a week. Do you know what I mean? But like, when you're looking at the kgs, it's probably thinking that it's not going anywhere. But if you were dropping a kg every week, there'd be nothing left of you. We wouldn't even have a business if that was the case. You know what I mean? So like, there's not, like, I think people just want a fast fix all the time. And we live in a world where like everything is so accessible, and you think that you should do it as quickly as possible, but it's never sustainable. If you lose it so quickly, it's because you're probably doing it the wrong way. And realistically, that's not practical to stick to post.
Well, like you said, people coming from Slimmer World and Weight Watchers, like, they're used to losing body fat rapidly, but they forget the part where they actually rebounded and put back on the body fat rapidly. Like, this might be the long way, but it's the right way and a sustainable way. And, you know, in 6 months to a year's time, you'll still probably still be around the same weight when you lose it, as opposed to doing those crash diets. And yeah, that's what I try to say to my clients as well. If you weigh daily, you'll actually get to see it. Like, even myself, when I stand on the scale, I'll know exactly why that fluctuated, because I'll be able to go back to the day before. Yeah, had a high carb meal before bed. Or, you know, broke myself up in the gym. Muscles are just inflamed or whatever. And then the whole kg thing, like, I was actually only talking to someone about this today. That when you see this, the kg not changing after 2 weeks, there's 2.2 pounds in 1 kg. So when you're staring at the same kg 2 weeks later, you could be dropping body fat, but it's just still lingering within the same kg. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
So you speak a bit about on your page about binge eating. Did you go through that yourself?
Yeah, and mine was like really bad. Like, I know that this week is like the awareness week, so it's probably a good time to do this podcast. But basically, I always had problems with food since I was young. Like, my mom and my dad were broken up when I was really young. And I think like my nanny will always say that when the brown paper bags come into our house, my eyes would light up. And this is from like being a baby. Like, I was always obsessed with food, like from a very, very young age. So then when I started going away to like, so I was bigger as a child and I had a stutter and I was bullied, and the more I got bullied, the bigger I got, et cetera, et cetera. Then when I went to college and when I started going away in the summer and I was going to like Ibiza and Ocean Beach and all, I was like, right, I can't go away looking like this. So I used to put myself on diets where I would be in control and I do the whole My Fitness Pal way. If I could scan it in and I could stick to the calories, happy days. If I couldn't, I wasn't going to eat it. And I was working in restaurants, so my steps were literally like through the roof. And then I was doing all my random classes as well. So it didn't look like I went to the gym, but I definitely looked skinny. And then when I'd go to Ibiza, you know what happens in Ibiza, I'd have a ball, then I'd come home and I'd go back to putting the weight back on, losing it, go back, losing it, go back. And I stuck in that cycle for ages, and it wasn't until like COVID came, and then I went on a plan with a PT during COVID, and I think I took it to the extreme. I think it was the coach's fault, but it was my fault too. I used to have a screenshot of a girl on my actual phone with a six pack with 49 kg. Don't ask me why I thought that I needed to get to that, but it definitely was my fault too, and I do take responsibility for it, because I know what it's like coaching people these days and they just don't listen to you sometimes as well. And I think I just got obsessed with everything. Like, I remember my dad was making chicken breasts on the barbecue and I couldn't eat it because it was on the barbecue, and I didn't know how he was going to touch the chicken breast. So I was literally obsessed with everything, and it got to the point where everybody was telling me I looked sick and there was something wrong with me. And I was thinking, no, I'm grand, I'm following this plan, I need to be the fittest, the rippest, that's not even a word, I need to be the most ripped post my course so I get the most clients. And I actually think loads of PTs fall into that trap. And what what we seem to miss is we're looking at people online and we're comparing ourselves to them. They've gone through loads of phases to get to the stage they're at. So if you're just finished a PT course and you're starting your fitness journey, you don't have any muscle. So if you drop loads of weight and you get down to 49 kg, there's probably no muscle there and you just look sick. So that's what happened to me. And then post the plan, I finished the plan before the plan was supposed to be finished, and then I just didn't know how to eat properly. Everything was bad food to me, like a chicken roll, anything at all, a sandwich, anything. So I developed like a thing where, like, if I ate something that I wasn't supposed to eat, I would either binge or I would make myself get sick, or I would eat to the point where, like, I always explain it to girls that I coach at the moment, it's like something has taken over your body. It's like a demon is inside you, like you physically cannot control it. And this is the difference, and this is why I get annoyed at people online when they talk about binging, and they're like, oh, I suffer from binging. If you overeat, that's a little bit different to binging. Binging is literally when you physically cannot control yourself, and you often will find yourself eating foods that you don't even like because it's in the middle of a binge. And it's literally as if you're like sleepwalking to the fridge. Do you know what I mean? Like, you physically cannot stop yourself, and you know it's wrong, but it's just you can't stop. So that happened for years. Like, I was only saying, we do, like, it's funny when I talk about it like this, but it's not funny because when it's happening, it's actually scary and you feel ashamed and you feel loads of guilt. But I said there was one time, the first time I was ever in Dubai, and I went through 3 cheesecakes from the Cheesecake Factory in one go. Like, that, like, I know that people, like, probably laugh at that, but, like, the amount of sugar in them that it actually feels like,
did you feel like you were going to get sick after them?
Over your body. Like, it feels like you're like wiped out. Like, your head goes all fuzzy. Everything. It's actually crazy. So, yeah, I suffered with binging for years. And I think I was just afraid to say it to people because I didn't even know that it was that common, or I didn't really know, like, what was wrong with me. And I think it's only recently, or in the last couple of years, that people have actually started to come out and actually speak about it more common and actually say it's happening. It's crazy because I get a lot of girls that think that the issue is that they need to lose weight and they need to just follow a training plan and a nutrition plan to achieve their fat loss goals. But the main thing is they need to address their relationship with foods. They use food for everything. And, like, I love food. But it's like, you can still love food but be in control.
And you know what, it's only when I look back before I even became a PT myself, how much you rely on food to provide you with endorphins. You know what it's like? It's like someone winning the lotto and having financial freedom, right? And they just think they're never going to run out of food, so they can keep eating and it's never going to go anywhere. And then it's not till 6 months down the line where you actually see you're starting to fill out, then you're like, whoa, that lifestyle is starting to catch up on me now. And now I look at food, I'm in a place where I look at it, I just eat it in moderation and I still enjoy the foods that I love every day. But it gets to a point where you're just like, I don't have to eat the full pack of biscuits. You know, I can have two and still enjoy the taste of them. And I remember you did a video as well where you're like, it starts to just taste the same after the 2 or 4 biscuits. It's not like you're eating a new food after 2 or 3 biscuits, you know.
I always say to people that, like, the first bite of something probably tastes absolutely unreal if you have a cookie, right? The first cookie tastes unreal. The second cookie tastes the same. And if you eat the whole packet, you've actually ruined the whole enjoyment because you feel so guilty afterwards. And all you keep thinking about is, Jesus, I shouldn't have the whole packet of cookies. Do you know what I mean? And it makes you feel sick and stuff, and you feel sluggish and it doesn't feel good. And I say the same to people when they go away on holidays. I often get girls and they're worried about the plan. I'm like, I'm showing you how to create balance. So you shouldn't be worried about going away. There's nothing wrong with going away and not tracking your food. But when people go to buffets, excuse me, they do not need to eat every single breakfast option at the buffet. One day they can have the pastry, the next day they can have the eggs with the bacon or whatever, and the next day they can have, like, oats and a fruit bowl. I feel like people, it's actually crazy, we live in a world where there's so much foods that people have lost control. And there's a lot of people that don't have, like, binging disorders, but they still have, like, binging tendencies, if that makes sense. Like, they don't, it's not a disorder, but they definitely have lost some form of control over their foods.
I think, like, back to that lotto analogy, like, they've spent so long eating whatever they like, how much they like, that now, you know, they don't have financial freedom anymore, we'll say, and they're on a budget now, and that can be very alien to them. And that demon, like you said, keeps creeping in and being like, just have a start tomorrow, just, you know, binge on the ice cream tonight, start tomorrow. What advice would you give to, if someone was to come along and, you know, has a history of that, like, what steps would you take? Or and you know, on off the back of that, how did you actually start coming out of it?
So the first thing I would say at the start is to stop weighing yourself, first of all. Now, this doesn't work for everybody, and some girls think that's too much and they actually like to weigh themselves and they don't have any issues with the scales. But I would say to some girls to stop with the weight, stop with the physique pictures, and actually just go back to food. And instead of like logging and tracking all the food, sometimes what I do to people is, right, when I first came off it, I got another coach. They didn't know I suffered binging, but just by seeing the foods when they were trying to get me to come off from, let's say, from having no food to having loads of food, I felt like it was just way too much pressure and it didn't work for me. So what kind of worked for me was still having a meal plan, as per se, because you have to remember these girls like to be in control. So if you tell somebody to like intuitively eat post coming from binging, they're like, what, how do I do that? Because they don't understand their hunger hormones. So what I tend to do is ask them, what are the type of foods you like to eat, similar to like a fat loss client, right? But giving them the flexibility to be like, right, well, if I didn't want the chicken today, I can have turkey. If I didn't want a wrap, I can have a bagel, and not freaking out if it goes up or down, and not saying you need to stick to these calories, you need to stick to these macros. Just giving them ideas of balanced meals and telling them to fill in their own snacks. So I often would give like 4 meals a day and tell them to put in 2 healthy snacks between then, and they're grand. And the goal is not to be hungry, to actually, because when you're hungry, your body goes into fight or flight mode, and then they can all go outside the window when you're trying to gain back control. So like, I just try to make sure the girls are well fed at the start and they're eating meals that they genuinely enjoy. But also, I also don't recommend people keeping mountains of trigger foods in the house. And I know that some people will disagree with this, and I put up videos on this before and I get abuse, but I genuinely think that if you suffer with binging on chocolate and you're buying yourself big, huge, large bars of chocolates in the house when you're at the start of your journey, don't do that. Like, I've loads of them in the house now, I'm grand now, like I can control myself. But at the start, you probably cannot control yourself. So it's like as if you're waving it in your face, being like,
imagine an alcoholic like stocking their fridge full of wine and they're trying to go sober. Like it's and eventually, you know, they will get to a place where they can sit in a pub and happily not drink, you know. But at the start, like you said, you're probably just making life more difficult. Because I think I remember reading a quote about your environment, like, why are you making willpower harder for yourself by making your environment more difficult?
Exactly. And like, if you can like identify your triggers, like I've spoke to some women and they said, like, let's say they get a takeaway, they offer to clean up the takeaway so they can eat it all, and because so their partner doesn't know they suffer with binging, let's say, and they'll clear everybody's plate, but they'll eat it all. If you know that that's a trigger, just say you're not doing the cleaning up. Do you know what I mean? Like, take away anything that you feel puts you in that mood. I often say to people, a lot of the time it does come from your family, unfortunately, and there's people in your family that trigger the binging. It might be like negative comments from your parents since when you were really young. I've often had girls, and it actually has came from their relationship with their mom. I put up a video today, but I don't think that moms understand that when they say things around their kids from a young age, it really, really, really affects them. And the habits their mom might have, or even like, there's some situations that I have with girls and they're saying that from a young age, they were told they're not allowed to leave the table until they clear the whole plate, even if they're full or they're not hungry. So like, there's some things that I know, and it's probably an Irish thing of saying stuff like that, but there's some things that I know that isn't true. Or like in some of the houses, I know from coming from a Slim and Royal background and Weight Watchers, their mom's like, oh, you can't eat any carbs, carbs are bad. So then when they eat those carbs, they feel like, oh, I shouldn't have had that. And then it turns into a binge. But it's all these, I feel like people need to think before they say things in front of people about food, because it can really, really, really affect somebody. And then just another tip, if somebody is listening as well, one tip I say that, like, if you do want to have a trigger food, have it with your family and friends when you're trying to introduce it back in. Because a lot of people only binge when they're by themselves. And if you can start like teaching yourself how to start incorporating that back into your diet, when you're around your family and friends, it's going to show you, oh, actually, look, I actually had a pizza the other day and I had 3 slices and I didn't have to eat the whole thing. And then you can start to have it on your own again. Just like small tactics.
Yeah, baby steps. But again, you want to be able to enjoy that food again in moderation. But complete, I suppose, avoidance will make it go. But like we were talking about, like, you know, stocking those stuff in your house at the start of your journey when you're trying to break the binge cycle, that's probably not the best idea. And I think that is a great tip to eat it around your family and friends, because, you know, they're going to notice if you're like polishing off like two or three meals. Like I remember I had a friend, and, you know, her mother used to come up to the room with like a plate of like cupcakes for the two of us, you know, and then she'd be back up a half an hour later with a cooked pizza. And I was like, I couldn't believe, when I only look back now, how much like she used to nearly force feed our kids. And, you know, it wouldn't even be dinner time. It would just be maybe just because she had company around, our friend had company. It was crazy. Like,
actually mad. But on the flip side of that, I often say as well to girls that, like, when they're going out for meals, don't be afraid to eat what you want to eat on the menu as well. Too often I have girls who are trying to recover from binging, and they'll go out and they'll pick a salad which they never wanted to eat. So when they come home, they're like, oh, they're not satisfied, and then they start to raid the kitchen, and then it turns into a binge. Whereas if they just had the burger or whatever it is out of what they wanted to have, they probably wouldn't have came home and binged. Like small things like that.
Yeah, totally. I say to my own clients as well, like, you're with your family and friends, you're socializing, you have to live. Like, do you want to be getting a starter, main and dessert while you're in a calorie deficit? Probably not. But, you know, enjoy the meal out. Like, most meals, if you're not a vegetarian, are going to have a meat source anyway. They're going to be high in protein. And, you know, if it's a really special occasion, enjoy the dessert. Look, it's not like you're doing it 3 or 4 times a week or on a weekly basis. Some parts of the year you're in a calorie deficit and you just have to be a bit more mindful with your calories. And then, you know, other parts of the year you're going on holiday. You're having food freedom, you know, you should always have food freedom, but sometimes you're just a little bit more mindful, you rein it back in a little bit. But it's great to see that people do come out the other side, because I'm sure when you were in the midst of that binge cycle, you thought you were never going to come out the other side.
Yeah, oh my God. And I was thinking, how will I ever get into a relationship? Still don't have a fella now, but I just mean, I used to worry being like, what am I going to do? Like, how am I going to like hide this from them? Like, it's mad. But like, another thing that is a trigger for people is alcohol. And like, I think like there should be a strong thing for people to avoid alcohol sometimes if they suffer with binging, because a lot of people who binge eat binge drink. And that's a big thing that some people, I don't think they know. I know, I think it's you who's not drinking for a while. Are you not? Have you given it up completely?
I haven't given up completely. I gave it up before Christmas. But, you know, before I started getting serious into being a PT and like looking after myself, like when I went out on the weekends, I would stop in a curry shop. I would order a 3-in-1 after having 3 meals that day and whatever snacks as well. And I never thought anything of it, until, you know, my appearance started reflecting the lifestyle that I lived. Like, I mean, coming home with a family meal deal from Domino's, sharing it between me and my fella. But like, the majority of people don't think twice about that stuff. But it's only when you actually take a step back and you're like, whoa, like, again, with a lot of analogy, I was treating food like it was just in abundance, you know, and it was just never going to catch up on me.
Mad, isn't it? I always say to people, like the girls who suffer with fat loss or the girls who are trying to lose weight, like, they're not actually the binge clients, but I always kind of say to them that, like, usually it's not the calories from the alcohol you're having, it's usually everything else that comes with that. And I don't know about you, but like, the reason why I don't drink too often is like, for the next 2 days, I just, my willpower is gone to do everything. Like, I just, my meals just be like, oh, like, and it's so hard to motivate yourself to get up, get your steps in, go out and like have your water, go to the gym. Like, you just feel so deflated. It's like it takes this massive toll on you. So yeah, but with the binging, I've noticed from girls that a lot of girls that do suffer from binging also would binge drink, or if they go out and they drink, they feel like they lose control with the alcohol as well. And I feel like that was definitely a thing for me as well. Like, I'm actually grand now with drinking, but I just kind of choose not to, because I feel like my productivity is crap the next day. But yeah.
That was one of the reasons I gave it up as well. Like, we work for ourselves and no one's going to do our job for us. And I was like, I'm making life harder for myself when it comes to Monday, because I could have got a head start on a Sunday. And, you know, like you said, you are less likely to go to the gym, less likely to get all your steps in, and you're craving foods that are like high in salt because you're so dehydrated from the night before. And yeah, and then there's also that level of shame as well. Like, I remember before, obviously, I became a PT, and I was eating a lot of crap before bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're sitting at your kitchen table having a fish and chips. Like, that's bizarre now to me, eating a meal at 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, you know,
it's on the way home, and I remember we get like, fuck, I would never get that if I wasn't after having a few drinks. It's mad, the things. It's mad. I remember years ago, everybody relates to this, like the scenes and stuff at McDonald's and Burger King in town. When you used to come out after a night out, it was like protocol that you went and got food. I don't think anybody got the taxi straight home. But it's just mad when you look back on it. I think like it's funny to look back. I would never do that now. So it's gas.
Yeah, and I totally agree. Like, I think it was I suppose, to do with being young and stupid, you know, and like, that's what you do when you're in your early 20s or you're a student or something. You just want to go out and get pissed, and you don't care about, you know, your body image or being healthy or whatever. You just want to have the crack with your friends. But I think it does come with maturity, and a lot more girls, like, I've trained a few students as well, and I think it's down to, like, you know, being online, being on Instagram and seeing like other people, how they live their lives, like the likes of us now. You know, they might look up to us and think, oh, I want to be like that, I want to make better choices. But it's great to see that we came out the other side of it now, and we are taking care of our bodies, and it is possible for anybody to come out the other side of it. But we'll just move on now to just being online. So you obviously moved online with your business, you're solely online. So you put up an awful lot of videos, and you're on TikTok, you're on Instagram. Is it just those two platforms?
And Facebook.
Facebook. So how have you found it? Because I know, like, as a girl as well, and a lot of other girls with platforms who are coaches, like, they do have to deal with an awful lot of fucking flack, and, you know, from dickheads, let's be blunt about it. How do you deal with it? Like, I know your man Eddie Abu, like, I seen actually one of the videos you put up, he was dissing women, you know, getting chocolates for Mother's Day, and he was like, this is poison, this is sugar. If anyone doesn't know who he is, like, he's like anti-sugar, anti-processed food, and he has a tribe, a cult. It's like a cult. But someone commented underneath the video that you made about him being like, oh, don't mind him and stuff like that. Someone said, oh, as if he knows who you are. And you were like, he made two videos about me.
He actually had me in the videos too. Like, he cropped a clip of me and had me with my squares bars. Like, guys, I'm not saying, I think people get very misled on social media, right? And like, you can't just go onto someone's Instagram page, like, right, that's everything to eat. If I only posted salads in every single post, no, everybody'd be bored. Obviously, you're eating salads and veggies and stuff as well. But like, nobody is going to watch a video. Well, actually, they love my shake of salads that I was naked in the summer. Everybody actually loved those. But I mean, if every second video was just salads and stuff like that, people be bored. You need to use your imagination and show a balance. So although I might say add some chocolate into your oats, you're not adding chocolate into your lunch, your dinner, and your whole day. It's a balanced approach. I think he takes things to the absolute extreme, and I think he has cults, like, he does. And people, like, I often get sent like whole paragraphs from people about health articles and blah blah blah, but the Instagram is my Instagram, and it's my opinion, and it's what I believe in. And how my videos started to blow up at the start was because I was doing the Tesco ones, and I think I was probably one of the first people in Ireland to start going into supermarkets recording myself like a mad joke, and everyone was looking at me thinking I'd lost plot. But I found them fun, and you know what, I'm actually, back then I did have a few little cry sessions, and I was like, oh my god, what am I doing? And people were like ripping me out of it, like, and I was getting, it started on TikTok because I was too afraid to post them on Instagram, and people were literally like ripping me out of it, like commenting on everything, my appearance. One minute I'm too big, the next minute I'm too skinny, I'm this, I'm that, the filler, everything. I was like, Jesus, should I stop posting these? But you know what? The more they were posting things, the more I kind of like took it in, and I started to like train myself on how to speak a bit better in the videos and how to like watch the camera. And because I come from a marketing background, I was realizing, oh, if I say the word unreal, I'm gonna get like, this is gonna be my tagline as a word. And if I use the word banging, and if I keep saying girls, I'll get rid of all the men. And just FYI, I used to have more men on my Instagram than girls, and now I think I only have like 17% men. So it worked. Saying girls at the start of every video is like a repeller to get rid of them. Because I don't really, obviously, look, I get messages sometimes, people saying, oh, can I eat this if I'm a guy? Yeah, obviously you can. But I mean, I wanted my Instagram just to be for girls. And that's why, like, I set it up. That's why I say girls in every single post. But I don't know, my dad keeps saying now, what, I'm 29 now, I feel like I'm probably cock blocking myself with the girls in every single video. Because nobody talks to me. But no, you get abuse at the start. But what I have realized is every single person who gains a following, and I'm not even saying I have loads of followers, but anybody who gains any sort of following, if it's 5K, 10K, whatever, the more you grow, the more you're attracting people as well that just don't like you or like comment silly things. And like, I used to sit there and read them on TikTok. I don't actually respond to most of them. And some of the things would be so silly. I'd be cutting chicken with a bread knife and they'd be slating me. And I was like, or like, then it'd be like, you didn't cook your beef, or my face was a big one for a long time. And this actually still affects me. Like, I'm not happy with how I look sometimes. I genuinely do think that it is down to social media. And if you constantly absorb what everybody else is saying about you, even when people say that they don't care, I'm sorry, genuinely don't believe that. I feel like there's definitely something in somebody that makes you kind of think, oh, hang on a minute, like, it does play on your mind. And there's certain, when you're on the time of the month and stuff, if you're reading comments and people are literally just like putting you down, like, they can put my food down, but when they start to comment on your face in a video of you cooking something, it's just pathetic. Like,
I remember reading a book before, I think it was called The Mountain Is You, and it's like the things that you're insecure about, and someone actually addresses that in real life to you, you're like, it must be true there after noticing it. And that's how it plays up on you, you know? So like, I could be insecure about my nose, for say example. And if someone makes a comment about that online, they're like, yes, I knew it wasn't in my head. This person has noticed it too. Like, that's how it starts to like manifest or get out of control. And that's when people start kind of like, and you know what? If you didn't change your face, people would probably slag the way it looks like, you know, it's fucking, you can't win. Like, you can't win.
It's mad. And it's like, I was funny because if someone says to me now, well, what don't you like about your face? And when I look, I'm like, I don't know, but I just don't like it. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I was like that. And it's literally, and when I think about it, I never had that issue before I started posting. But it's like, when you're looking and you're reading the comments, they're nearly trying to like nitpick things. And then you're like, oh, and I think, you know, yourself in fitness as well. Your body is so important as well. And like, I feel like I went through a phase where everybody was like, right, now you're too big. And then it was like, right, now you need to grow your glutes. And I was thinking to myself, I don't want to grow my glutes. Like, I'm actually quite happy with the way I am. You leave me alone. Like, I don't want to go into a gaining phase. I think it's okay for people to just be in a maintenance phase and just like the way they are. Just because you're a PT, it doesn't mean you constantly have to be changing your body.
Totally agree. Like, one of the things I had to get used to is I have the comedy page and everyone just used to, you know, comment on the jokes or whatever. Then you're running a coaching page and it's alien to you when people start commenting on your body. Then like, no one ever made any comments on my body on my other page, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, but you don't have muscles, yeah, but you have this, and that starts to affect you. Then you're like, whoa. But then, do you know what, the 90% of the time they're young fillies, they're arseholes, they're probably living in the back arse of America on a ranch, and you know, they've never probably conversed with a woman in their life, they've probably never been to the gym in their life, and these are the type of people that are easily influenced by people giving out misinformation online. And that's when they come for you then, Lauren, and they're like, you don't know what you're talking about, Eddie Abu told me this, you know, like, it's, and that's the last thing I wanted to move on to, the amount of misinformation that's spread online. And, you know, I find Americans are the worst for it. They will believe anything they are told from any podcast, and they will just go to comment sections on their videos and just spout misinformation. And they're not even a PT themselves. They're just re-quoting things that they hear on a podcast.
No, it's actually mental. It's actually funny. I remember, like, when I first started having chaplains, with people like, you're eating that? Like, I feel like things do actually really, really start to like sink into some, like, people who don't understand nutrition are easily influenced by what they see online. Because if someone tells them that chocolate will give you a heart attack, they'll instantly just won't eat the chocolate. Like, to be honest, my dad's a bit like that. My dad would be coming home and he'd be like, I heard this thing on news talk about salmon, and then all of a sudden they're not allowed to eat salmon in the house. And I'm like, who said this? What doctor? Where did they get their research from? It's the same with the Diet Cokes and the Coke Zeros and stuff, and people say you shouldn't be having them. How many of them do you need to have? Like, do you know what I mean? Everybody is different. I have IBS myself, right? And there's certain things that I know if I eat that, it's probably going to trigger my gut, right? But that's just me. That doesn't mean that that's going to affect everybody else. And you have to remember the goals. So what I say about Instagram is everybody has different goals. There's loads and loads and loads and loads of diets out there. Just find whatever diet works for you. If you want to do keto, eat keto. Like, do it. Like, there's no, like, nothing is going to happen to you. If you prefer to have carbs in your diet, have carbs in your diet. Like, do what works for you. And if I want to eat chocolate and artificial sweeteners because I like them and I'm staying the way I am and I'm quite happy, I don't really see what the problem is with that. And just, I find like a lot of the girls that come to me, they come to me because they love sweet things, right? And they love sugar and they love this and they love that. If I then give them chicken and eggs every day, they're going to be like, what?
Won't be able to stick to it, yeah.
Way and let them have a bit of sweetener or have a can of Coke Zero, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to find it easier to stick to the plan. And then as you start to go on a couple of months, you can maybe say, right, well, would you actually kind of think about, instead of having a protein pudding, would you have some Greek yogurt? Do you know what I mean? Like, gradually, like, swap it around depending on them and the way it works. Like, that's how I do it. Like, everybody is different.
Like, Stephen Bartlett is getting a lot of flack now because he has a mega platform and he's getting people on that's basically instilling fear into people about food, you know, and that's dangerous. Like, I think that's dangerous. And the same with your man, Eddie Abu. Like, it's when you have
going to see Stephen on Sunday, and I've listened to the last couple of his podcasts, and it's like, I don't know about you, Annie, but I get people send me like links to his podcast, my clients being like, wait, is this true, Lauren? And then they're almost questioning my plan, and I'm like, oh, please don't listen to that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, with people with massive platforms, like, they're looked at like they're God. And like, I don't know, you know, you might be able to relate to this, but I remember when I hadn't got a clue about nutrition, and when someone said to me, I remember, never forget, one of my friends said to me, she was in one of them groups, you know, I don't know whether it was Slimmer World or Weight Watchers. She was like, yeah, so I'm after losing like 5 pounds in the last 3 weeks, but I just haven't, like, I've been eating chicken and I just take the skin off it. So I was like, right, don't eat chicken with skin on it. Don't season your rice and don't put any sauce in your rice. And I was like, okay, I won't do that. And now I'm just like, at the end of the day, if you're in a calorie deficit, whether you're eating 100% carbs in your diet and no protein, you obviously that's not sustainable, but you'd still drop body fat. It does. I am a big believer in calories in versus calories out. Like, you know, it's whatever you can sustain. Like you just said, what's easier for you? Because the same diet that works for you might not be the same diet that works for me. But at the end of the day, ultimately, we're both in a calorie deficit.
Yeah, 100%.
But it's been great having you on, Lauren, and I think a lot of people, especially who might suffer from binging, and you know, they might not even be aware that they have that issue, or they might have it in secret, I think they're going to find a lot of use out of this podcast. So I really do appreciate you coming on. And for anyone who wants to find you on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook, what are your handles?
Thanks so much. And unfortunately, they're all different. So on Instagram, it's Lauren Scully's PT. And then on TikTok and stuff, it's Lean with Lauren. I don't know why I did that different, but it's after sticking now, so I'm stuck with it. But thanks so much for having me.
If you want to find great recipes, like I love following Lauren's page. I don't know how you're so creative, and I'd say you spend a bomb buying the ingredients for all them recipes, do you?
I do, but they can be a business expense sometimes. So technically they're for Instagram, but no, like, the foods is my favorite part. Like, if someone told me that I could literally just make Instagram videos all day of coming up with recipes and not get paid for it, I would still do it anyways. Like, I absolutely love it. Like, I don't mean like I get paid for the post, but I mean like not get anything from it. I would do it for myself because I just love food.
Yeah, well, you're brilliant at it. And look, fair play to you as well, not bowing down to the haters and not listening to the trolls online, because I mean, look at the platform you're after building. If you had a quit, it's the same with fat loss. If you had a quit when things were going bad, you never would have seen to where you've gotten now. So yeah, really appreciate you coming on, Lauren, and hopefully have you on again one day soon. But best of luck with everything anyway.